Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Oh, it is a beautiful and wonderful thing to be on top of the earth. God is amazing. It's early in the morning. My dog is walking around. The sun is peeping through my window. I feel blessed to be on top of the earth. How are you? How are you feeling this morning? I hope I've just energized your day and say, hey, wake up! Wake up, wake up, and rejoice, because this is the day that God has made. And I believe that in spite of all that we're going through, you can pause for a moment, smile, rejoice, and be glad in today. You know, this morning I am going to actually, if you've been listening to this program, I'd like to say thank you so much for your continued support. If you're new to my channel, my work, my dog is like, this all up in my business. Do you want to go outside? Hello? She's like, heck, good morning, Lala. My dog, I love her to death, but we're going to kneel and pray this morning. Are you going to come pray with me? Huh? Good morning. Good morning, Lala. Good morning. Good morning. Hello. You hear her little feet? Hi. Good morning. Hi. Good morning. Why? What do you got to say to mommy? What you got to say to mommy? What you got to say to mommy? Don't jump. Good morning. She likes to talk to me, but I am actually going to go ahead. She's sitting right beside me. And I'm going to go ahead and we're going to pray. So let me center myself as I settle my heart to just connect with the Lord this morning. Let's center ourselves. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise you. We honor you this morning. You're the King of Kings. You're the Lord of Lords. Yahweh. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. You're more than enough for all of us. We want you to know that from our lips, from our hearts, we want to say thank you this morning, oh God, for the breath of life. Oh God, we are grateful this morning for all that you've done. And God, for those of us who are feeling disappointed that you are probably delaying our answers, those prayers that we've prayed and we're still waiting, God, we still want to say thank you, because in the midst of the waiting, oh God, we're learning, we're growing, and Father God, we still believe that even at the very last moment, oh God, you're still able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could have asked or think. So Lord, we say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Have your way, oh God, as we dive into your word today. Bless hearts, transform lives for the glory of God. And we say thank you, mighty God, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, God bless you again. And thanks for stopping by. I appreciate you. And as I always say to all my listeners, whether I'm teaching or speaking, it's real for me. And I am on as authentic as you hear. This is the real Leonie. So I pray this morning that I didn't throw you off too much with my dog. She loves to be involved. She's right here. She likes to learn, you know. And so I don't want to ever prevent her from hearing what God has to say to her, because sometimes she acts up too as well. But anyway, let's get into our study for today. This is day 4. We're still in Nehemiah 1, which we're going to transition over to Nehemiah 2 today. So we started Nehemiah for our study this week, and we've spent some time in Nehemiah 1. God had truly had a lot to say to us there. And just to recap what we discussed earlier this week, we looked at how God's people, they were led away from their homes. They were led into captivity by the Babylonians. Now, upon returning home to Jerusalem, they found the walls of Jerusalem lay in ruins, the gates burned to rubble. Ananiah went to visit Nehemiah, who was working for a king. He was a cupbearer. He had a tough job, you know. His job as the cupbearer was actually to taste everything before the king ate it. So he was like the poison taster or something like that. So when Nehemiah heard, he's having this conversation with Ananiah, and he's asking about, you know, how are the people doing? What's going on in Jerusalem? And Ananiah gave him some really bad news. And when Nehemiah heard of the Jews' dilemma, he was heartbroken. And we read how he wept, he mourned, he fasted, and brought his pain before the Lord. But guess what I discovered today? Nehemiah tells us in chapter 1 that he started praying in the winter month of Kislev, in the Jewish calendar, that's around the winter time. Now, we're going to see in chapter 2 that he shares with us that he ended his prayer in the spring of Nisan. And in the Jewish calendar, that's about 4 months time lapse. 4 months of praying, seeking, listening. And what I hope to be that he deepened his relationship with the Lord during that time as well. That's a long time to be praying, right? It's a long time. But many of us can relate to that because we've been praying probably more intensely since last year and the whole COVID-19 pandemic. We've certainly seen God moved in terms of, the vaccine, the reopenings, lives are being rebuilt, businesses are being rebuilt. So we see a lot of movement that's taken place over the last couple months, and definitely the church have been praying. And what I love about this book of Nehemiah that I'm so far behind, I should have been studying this a while back. Nehemiah is an example of how to react to when we hear unpleasant news. He's an example of pressing into the Lord for answers through prayer. And this is a great reminder for all of us of how when we can't control what's happening on the outside, that we do what we can control. And that is to focus on what we can control on the inside, right? If you agree, say yes, yes. I love Nehemiah's passion. And when I read this story, I see a passion for rebuilding lives, for restoring what's broken. And I think it's just simply breathtaking as you read this man's journal notes that document his journey to rebuild it, to being that the hands and feet of Jesus, right? To helping others who could not help themselves. Here's the thing. You can only add value to what you value. Let me say that again. You and I, we can only add value to what we value. And I'd even take it a step further by saying, we can only give who we are. We can't give what we don't have. So if you have value in you, it's easy to give that to others. As I read Nehemiah's journal, I'm finding myself caring more deeply about the condition of the city where I live and the cities around me. I never thought that God would have extended my borders beyond just focusing on trauma survivors to where now my views, my lens, it has definitely changed. And I'll share a couple more stories, you know, as we continue to journey through the book of Nehemiah, to kind of look at how God is weaving these experiences together. And now I'm beginning to understand why he wanted me to study the book of Nehemiah. There are cities and communities around us, and like you, I want to see rebuilt in the next 3 to 5 years. I care about seeing my city flourish. I care about people, you know, finding jobs and building careers and making their communities a better and a much more safer place to live. I care about the next generation. I care. I care about people living sustainable and independent lives. I care. I care about, you know, seeing lives being transformed by the gospel, because my life has been transformed by the power of God. I care about the spiritual vitality of my city. I live in the county of Santa Barbara, and I care about what happens to my county. I care. I care about the people of my city, of my county, of my state, in our country. I care. I care about transformation. It's that important. I care. I care. And there's a combination of things and ways that we show how much we care. We show, and we do our part, actually. We do our part by engaging in several different activities. Some of us provide education, support services, you know, natural resources. We partner with the communities, right? And the ultimate goal for the work that I do is so that our residents or community members can improve their economic security and become self-sufficient and retain their dignity. I care, and I know you do as well. And so if you have your Bible, let's turn to Nehemiah 2. Now we're going to read from verse 1 to 8. The topic, I think, for today, I feel empowered to inspire you to get intentional. If you want to achieve deliberate outcomes, you must be intentional. You must plan for the transformation and take those action steps in order to get the outcome that you're looking for. So let's go ahead and read Nehemiah 2, 1 to 8. I'm going to be reading from the Living Translation version. Early the following spring, remember we said that he started in chapter 1, he shared that he was in winter. So now a couple months have passed and he's now in spring. So early the following spring, in the month of Nisan, during the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was serving the king his wine. I had never been, and I've never before appeared sad in his presence. So the king asked me, "Why are you looking so sad? You don't look sick to me. You must be deeply troubled." Then I was terrified, but I replied, "Long live the king. How can I not be sad? For the city where my ancestors are buried is in ruins, and the gates have been destroyed by fire." The king asked, "Well, how can I help you?" With a prayer to the God of heaven, I replied. Now this, remember, in chapter 1, he had this long season of prayer, right? But here he says, I had like a quick little prayer to the Lord, you know, before I responded. So then he replied to the king, "If it please the king, and if you are pleased with me, your servant, send me to Judah to rebuild the city where my ancestors are buried."
The king with the queen sitting beside him asked, "How long will you be gone? When will you return?" After I told him how long I would be gone, the king agreed to my request. I also said to the king, "If it please the king, let me have letters addressed to the governors of the province west of the Euphrates River, instructing them to let me travel safely through their territories on my way to Judah. And please give me a letter addressed to Asaph, the manager of the king's forest, instructing him to give me timber. I will need to make beams for the gates of the temple fortress, for the city walls, and for the house for myself." And the king granted these requests because the gracious hand of God was on me. Let's look at this again. This man prayed 4 months based on the request that he just made of the king. Would you agree that during those 4 months, it seems as though he was also what? It's a P word. Come on. What's that P word? Planning. He was planning. He was planning that when he goes before the king, just like Esther, he knew what he wanted to say. He had it ready to go. Have you been praying? Have you been praying and asking God for maybe, "God, I need a better job. God, I need a financial increase. God, I want to become debt free. God, I want to be healthy. God, I want a spouse. God, I want children. God, I need a new home." But are you ready for what you're asking God for? I was sharing with one of my mentees this week that every month last year, I interviewed. And every single interview that I was participating in, I spent diligent time preparing for those interviews. Guess what? When I landed my position that I'm now in, everything that God has instructed me to prepare for those interviews, and during that preparation season, when I was sharing those ideas with those companies, I felt rejected because I didn't get the jobs. But God is a wise God, because in my position now, I'm able to use some of those same pieces. I'm able to weave them into my job. What are you asking God for? What have you been praying for? Are you ready for it? I have to give you a little joke. So a couple years ago, I remember my pastor used to always encourage me. He would say to me, "Are you making yourself known, you know, letting people know you're single?" I'm like, "No." And he's like, "Why not?" I wasn't ready. And so I attended this program called 49 Days to Love. And I thought I was going to the program to learn how to love someone and how to attract, you know, a soulmate. To my surprise, I talk about this in my book, that program taught me how to love myself and how to forgive others so I could then receive love. That was the biggest takeaway for me from that program. Because I could not at the time receive the love of a partner because my heart wasn't open. And so during that program, they taught us how when you know you're truly ready for love, you make space in your home for love. So at the time, our instructor, you know, instructed us to go home, empty one side of the drawer, you know, your dresser drawer, empty one side. They taught us how to go in the closet and leave one side of the closet empty, like literally splitting your home into half. I'm going to be totally honest with you. That took me 7 years from the time. Now, I'm being totally honest. 7 years. 7 years to get myself readied for love. I'm there. I literally half of my home. And it, I'm telling you, it was difficult because I'm like, what am I going to have to give up? I had to give up a lot. But I was showing as God was instructing me. I mean, I literally at one point had to go through rooms and remove books and get rid of clothes. Because God is like, you cannot, you know, that man that I have for you, it shouldn't be a frustrating process. And whether or not we live together in my home or his home, because I know God is preparing him as well. The idea is that it's not where we physically live after we get married. The idea is, do I have room in my life and my heart for someone else? That is what I saw here in Nehemiah. It was a reminder as I was reading it. I noticed how he planned for this conversation with the king. So when the door was open, he was ready. He wasn't ifing or butting or wondering or scratching his head or, you know, becoming confused. He knew. He knew. He knew right away. When I interviewed with jobs that I've held, I knew it was a right fit for me in that moment because of where I was taking my career. And it's the same thing with our walk with the Lord. I believe a lot of times, I think I shared this with you this week, how God says, I have not because I ask not. So even in all my preparation, I really wasn't praying and say, God, I need a spouse. I just now started praying and said, Lord, I need a spouse. Let him find me. I want my husband to find me. And then I left it there. I prayed and I just say, okay, that's it. I did my part. And that was what Nehemiah did. He prayed and then he took action steps. So when the door was open, he walked through the door. In my book, The Thread, Restore Your Faith, Love, and Life, I outlined 6 steps, an individual, a team, an organization, or a community must take to achieve intentional transformation. Part of this process includes asking yourself key questions like, what would my life look like transformed? What would my life look like if I had my dream job? What would my life look like if I'm helping the people I'm called to serve and fulfilling my purpose? What would my life look like as a wife, as a husband, as a mom, as a leader? The next is to ask, what would my life, my team, my organization, my community, families, the school system, the youth, what would that look like if God truly transforms it? When we look at Nehemiah 2 and look at Nehemiah's journal and the step that he outlined, we would both agree that Nehemiah prayed and he was patient and he waited on the Lord's timing. Now, as I said before, he had a challenging job. He was the poison checker for the king. That's a tough job, okay? So you're tasting everything before the king eats it. So you're going to go first. And it was while he was serving the king noticed Nehemiah's sad countenance and inquired about it. I want to encourage someone today. If you've been praying and waiting on God to break you through to fulfilling his kingdom assignment, wait for it. I love what Proverbs 21 verse 1 says, and it tells us, the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord. My friends, God cannot fail and God will not fail. Here's the thing. Are you ready for what's next once favor has been granted? Are you ready? Are you ready for when God, you know, place your spouse in front of you? Are you ready? Are you going to play the game? Are you ready? Are you ready for when, you know, that job opportunity, that door opens in front of you? Are you ready? Are you ready for when you're sitting at a certain table and conversations are being held and opportunities are literally just flying in front of you. Are you ready? Are you in tuned enough to be able to recognize them? And are you ready to take action? Are you ready should you show up at the doctor's office and the doctor tells you that you are pregnant? Are you ready to build your beautiful, happy family? Are you ready for the ministry that God has called you to build, to nurture, and to grow? Are you ready? Are you ready to transform a city? Do you understand what transformation really looks like once they're transformed? Are you ready for how those transformed people will behave? You see, a lot, I've worked for companies big, I mean, with thousands of employees dispersed all around the world, to a very small organization with 5 people. One of the things that I can tell you from my experience working in the industry, private sector, government, nonprofit, and also serving as an adjunct professor, transformed people behave as transformational people. Once you've been transformed, you're not the same. And so my question to you this morning is, are you ready for what you're praying and asking God for? Because once God begins to use you and you begin to transform lives, and those lives begin to transform the city, and those cities start transforming the county, and the county now becomes a reflection of the state, you're looking at a totally different experience and environment. Everything will change. Are you ready for that? And I think a lot of times why we don't go all the way in, and like my pastor says, we like to stay in the floaties, I think sometimes it's because we're scared. And on the other hand, I think sometimes we're selfish because we like the illusion of control. We like to control things to a certain point, to a certain growth, and then we stop. We don't want to see it go any further. I want to encourage you this morning to consider the following. There are a couple of strategies and tips that I want to believe is appropriate for the time that we're living in. And based on Nehemiah's response, it's clear that he was planning for beyond God answering his prayer. I love that from my perspective, Nehemiah was a forward thinker, a visionary. He was a visionary leader who pressed into God through prayer. And I believe that God can and will use you, you that's listening today. I believe that God is going to use you to fix broken lives, broken families, broken cities, broken states, broken counties, the broken world. But to be successful, you must plan for it. Plan for what it's going to look like when you're doing it, and plan for what it's going to look like after you've done it. And part of that process, let me say, it may feel lonely. It will not be where they're going to cheer you on. Do not expect or plan for that. What we want is for there to be radical change and a setup where the next generation are not having to deal with the issues that we've created during our time. So here's a strategy for consideration. Number one, get crystal clear about the situation or problem that you feel you're called to transform. The problem or situation that exists around you, get crystal clear about what it is. Number two, before you dive into transformation, before you dive into making changes, seek to understand. Let me say that again. Take time. Seek to understand the history and impact of the situation. Take your time. Study. Do your homework. Pay attention. You know, show up and observe. Take your time. so you can understand. Ask questions. Learn from the people, their history, culture, what's important to them. Number three, identify the gaps that the people need and want to see addressed. It's not about your agenda. It's about God's agenda. And you need people in order to influence change. So talk to those people. Learn their pain points. Understand what their vision looks like. And so that will also become a confirmation for you that you're in alignment. And lastly, learn how to articulate your value from the perspective and from the approach of a problem solver. Come from the standpoint of being at the table because you have a solution to offer. After you've done your homework, you're crystal clear about what you need to do, you've talked to people, you've observed, you've dug into the history, now you show up as a problem solver. Still listening, still learning. But when you are called upon, then like Nehemiah, you're ready to go. I believe that while you're waiting on God for that answer, sir, you need to be planning. If you're praying and you're asking God for a wife, you need to be planning for when she shows up. The planning doesn't happen after she shows up. It's your job, sir, to be planning. Ma'am, while you're waiting for a husband, you should be planning. Making room in your life, making sure that you've kind of brush up and enhance on certain skill set. I'm reading the book, and somebody, an old lady gave me this book probably like 10 years ago, and it's called A Wife After God's Own Heart. 12 things that really matter in your marriage. And I started the book and I stopped and I started and I stopped. And last night I felt led to be reading this book again. Are you planning? Are you planning for the transformation that's going to happen in your city because of your influence and impact? Are you planning for it? Think about that. A wise man, a wise woman plan in advance. Before you build a house, you plan, you count the cost. How much will it cost for me to build the house? How much will it cost for me to maintain the house? We plan. We're wise. In this season that we are in, it is time for our wisdom. First, to put legs and wings on our wisdom. It's so important. For the building up of the kingdom, in my country, we used to say, God call fool, but he don't keep them. It's time to be wise. And if you are already wise, teach wisdom to others. In closing, I have a devotional that I wrote last year. It's called I Wait in Him. And I talk about things that you can do while you're waiting on the Lord. You can visit my store at www.leonimadison.com and grab a copy. I'll send you a signed copy of the book if you so choose. Or you can buy the book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or Walmart, wherever books are sold. I do encourage you to read that book because it really does provide some nuggets about what do we do while we're waiting on the Lord. And I see a revision coming to that little devotional as well as I'm learning more, transitioning beyond the pandemic. In closing, may you hear my heart this morning, and I hope that something that I've said has been a blessing for you. I pray that God open doors for your dreams to come to pass. I pray that the Lord use you to transform lives in your city, in your state, in your county, in your community. That you use the gospel as your guidepost to lead in people to the kingdom of God. God is depending on us, his children. And I know, like me, we don't want to let God down. He's been too good to us. Would you agree? God has been good to us. And so I just want to encourage your heart this morning to, as you're waiting on the Lord, that you also plan for the transformation and the lives that he will use you to be a blessing to. If this has been a blessing for you this morning, please feel free to share it with someone. You can say hello to me on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. I'm at Leonie H. Matteson on Instagram and Facebook, and Leonie Matteson on Twitter. I always love hearing from my listeners. And you can always feel free to also email me at thethreadmovement@gmail.com. I have a song for us this morning. May it bless your heart as we close out today's devotional or Bible study, whatever we want to call it. Have a great day in Jesus.
Does anybody want God?